have never seen another moment like this. Athlete's choice, shared gold. They stopped listening once the official said, yeah, it's possible. It's amazing. Bill, Israel, Kevin, Jackie, while I have you here, just do this for me. Give me a little of this miracolo meraviglioso. Ah, let's go.
Mangia Tony Anthony Joseph
Riad. AOC vibe.
It's not the size of your mama and the Mia, it's the size of the Mia and the mama.
What a day.
Another stunner at these Olympics. U.S. women's national teams lost in the semifinal game to Canada. That's where we start. The team that came in on a 44-match unbeaten streak, then lost in the group stage, loses again here to Canada, and it will not be gold or silver again for the USWNT at the Olympics. Play for bronze later this week. Diagnosing this loss, Megan Rapinoe today was in tears and put it all on the players. Israel Gutierrez, around the horn to you. What happened?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're looking at this U.S. women's team the way we do the U.S. men's basketball team, right? If they don't win, we wonder, wow, what's gone wrong? Everything has gone wrong. And really, I mean, they outplayed Canada. They outshot Canada. They basically had the same issues they've had this entire tournament, as the offense just wasn't there. They were just basically one pass, one connection away. And so you can't feel terrible about the team as a whole. But to hear Megan Rapinoe talk about it afterward, it feels like it came down to perhaps that they were feeling a little bit too good about themselves. Perhaps this winning streak went too long and they didn't play as hard as they should have, or non-losing streak. They didn't play as hard as they should have, as consistently as they should have. 5 matches in 13 days, probably a lot. And I'm sure, you know, individually, they're all going through a lot at this time in the world. But overall, I think, you know, you can't say that this is the terrible time for the U.S. women's soccer team. It's just they happen to be in a lull, and maybe we'll end up with a bronze medal as a result and have to sort of recapture their magic a little.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, they were number one ranked in the world, according to the rankings. Canada was number eight. But first of all, before I dissect them, let me just give a shout-out to Canada. Mm. I mean, they're now on a nine-game unbeaten streak. That was their second shutout during the tournament. And they had two bronze to show for the last two Olympics, and now they get to play along with Sweden for first-ever gold for Canada. So good for those women. Look, we talked about some of the questions with this team coming in. There was a questionable choice for coach. There was the old roster. They added a 21-year-old, and still they almost averaged 30 years of age. Well, of course, that's a lot of soccer and a lot of experience. And they had some bad luck in this particular game for a team that struggles to score. You lose your keeper to an injury, and shortly thereafter, you give up the goal and you go and you realize what your fate is. So a tough road all the way around. And hey, they don't have a birthright to the championship, despite how good they are.
Jackie McMahon.
Yes, I think you're right, KB, in this much. They're a little bit of a victim of our expectations, maybe not so much their own. I think in the soccer world, the World Cup is still where it's at, but the rest of the world was watching now, and what they saw, to your point, KB, was a roster that was a bit older. Lynn Williams, who was one of the stars of this team, was an alternate originally for Tokyo. She wasn't even supposed to be on the team. So I do think that you have to look at this roster, the way it was constructed, the hockey line changes, wholesale changes with players. I think you heard a lot about lack of continuity among this team. But the thing that stays with me was what Megan said when she said, we never have felt that joy. And that's what I always think of when I think about World Cup women's champions and Olympic champions in soccer. I think of the joy. I think all the way back to Brandi Chastain, forgive me, you know, with their arms raised with the sports bra. And there was a love of the game and the love of the competition that just never seemed to be there. And I don't think you can ever put a price on that. I will also point out, as we have over and over again, Tony, 9 disallowed goals.
Well, that's
because of, I mean, that's a lack of discipline. That you got to look at the coach in that kind of situation.
Israel, you brought up 5 games in 13 days. Well, everybody plays that. The 9 disallowed goals, that's something that not everybody had. Bill Plaschke, you heard Megan Rapinoe today, and she was in tears. And then she was trending after the game because there's such a spotlight on her. Jack, you said maybe we have too high expectations for this team. This team has certainly put out what they deserve and how much they are the best in the world. Plashke, where are you today on the U.S. Women's National Team?
Why are we all dancing around the obvious? This team needs a reboot. They've gotten old. They're the greatest World Cup team we've ever had, the greatest women's soccer team we've ever had in this country, two consecutive World Cups, 44-game win streak. 11 players are over 30 years old. The front line is all over 30 years old. Rapinoe, Lloyd, Morgan, they're all over 30. Heath, they're all over 30 years old. They didn't get a shot off today until the 65th minute. This is a team that wilted under the heat. They wilted under the pressure. It happens. It's life. It's cyclical. It happens to all teams and all sports and all in this country. It's time to get younger. It's time to get fresher. It's time to make a move, get rid of some of the old guard. It's time for a change. We have to admit that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your thoughts there. We're going to move on. Mutaz Essebarshim and Gianmarco Tamberi sharing the gold medal in the high jump. They matched each other jump for jump. And then miss. Both peaked at 237. And did it surprise you that that's how this officially could be sorted out? The official asking if they wanted to go lower and then jump off against each other at a height they already did? And Barshim saying, can we share? And the judge saying, it's possible? And then, yes, all the joy. A shared gold medal. Kevin, I think we'd all agree this is the best result for sure. But you said in the name of competition, you wondered if it's right. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see a winner. I mean, and
you saw two.
I saw two, but I felt a little bit let down. I mean, if I'm seeing two, that means there's no silver medalists. Why didn't they just get the two silver medals? I would have rather have seen a jump off. Look, good for both guys, tremendous sportsmanship. I'll tell you this. I never knew that that could be in the offering. Yeah. I never knew that you could come to an end of a competition and say, hey, if you folks don't want to go anymore for whatever reasons, both of you can have
But you walk away saying, I didn't see a winner here you've got two men celebrating like that?
I did. Look, good for the Italian guy because we know he was injured in 2016.
So was Barshim. They both have come back from near career.
Exactly, but at least he got a chance to medal in the last two Olympics, I believe. So good for them. Great sportsmanship, but I just would rather have seen them jump it off. On Sunday, seven golfers played off for a bronze medal. We have super tiebreakers in tennis. So that's all I want to see. Just
Jackie Mack, you're shaking your head no a little bit here.
Yeah, I can't sign off on that with you, KB. These are the moments in the Olympics I live for. That unbridled joy, the two of them sharing this moment together. And by the way, they're not strangers. They're good, good friends that have been competing against each other for over a decade, if I'm not mistaken. They've known each other a long time, and they've both, as Tony said, coming back from catastrophic injuries. One of them missed Rio. So to me, this is the perfect ending to a long journey for two guys who have immense respect for one another. Isn't that what the Olympics is all about, is this sort of collaboration with all these countries from all over the world? I loved this
moment. Bill Plashke.
It was so cool to hear Barshim say, you mean we can win a gold? Yeah, let's go for it.
Didn't bat an eye after that.
That was tremendous quote. No, the Olympic motto is faster, higher, stronger. KB, they couldn't go any higher. They were as high as they were going to get. So let's go stronger. Let's go together. Let's go sportsmanship. Let's share it. It was a wonderful, it's my favorite moment of the Olympics. Okay. They were so excited. It was tremendous.
In gymnastics, if judges decide that two gymnasts have the same score, they have a tie. Same in diving. And I understand that you could sort of have a jump off, but you're not going higher. You're going lower. So it becomes a stamina contest. It's not becoming a high jump contest at that point. You can absolutely be okay with a tie there. Neither of those guys has to go the rest of their lives saying they tied. They can just say, I won a gold medal in the high jump. They don't have to share the rest of the information. So, yeah, I think for the sake of sport, for the sake of these two gentlemen, I think
giving them two gold medals
is the way to go.
I have not been swayed because you know what I tune into the Olympics for? To see the greatest performances ever. Like Fulimar Rojas out of Venezuela, the triple crown, the triple jump winner, who set a world record. Unbelievable. First woman from Venezuela to get a gold medal. And you know what that country's been going through for the last 5 or 6 years. So that's what I tune in to
see. And you saw it. And you also saw two men sharing a gold medal here. and jumping as high. I mean, here's the thing in competitions, and you love track and field, KB. I know you know this. You're not just competing. You're competing against the bar. That's what they're competing against. They're not each other. Let's talk about some of the jaw-dropping events. Lamont Marcel Jacobs, the first Italian man to ever win gold in the men's 100. Elaine Thompson-Herah, the Olympic record in the women's 100, enough to beat Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce in their great rivalry. Jamaicans swept that medal stand. As you just mentioned, Blackiston, Venezuela's Yulimar Rojas. It was a 26-year-old world record she broke in the triple jump. And the women's shot put was stupendous. Wow. Gong Lijiao of China gold. American Raven Saunders is an all-time character with an all-time celebration in silver. But the news of the day, Simone Biles. She will compete on the beam tomorrow, the last event of the Olympics. Working through the twisties, trying to balance her mental health. I think we've all got an education on safety in the sport of gymnastics and on mental health in the last week. And it's just been a week, Jackie McMahon. How do you feel about this?
I am putting my faith in Simone Biles, who, you know, when I look back now, the fact that this was a person, since she was a little girl, not a young woman, a little girl, has had the weight of the world and the kind of pressure that she's been under. Also, as a young African-American star, some consider the best athlete in the world. How she has handled her mental health up till now, I am now retroactively astounded because we never saw any evidence of this, Tony. So for her to now come forward and decide, I'm going to do this last event, I think it's fantastic. She's doing it on her terms. I'm pretty sure, I hope, that no one has pressured her to do this. And so I say, good for you. I could care less about the results for Simone Biles. I don't care if she medals. I just want her to take the next step back to the most and the strongest person she can be. So I salute her, as I have all the way through these
Blackstone.
Well, you know, as the news unfolded about the twisties, which I had no clue about until the past week, and how dangerous it can be to gymnasts, I'm very queasy about this. And I feel like you, Jackie, you know, I hope she made this choice on her own volition. But, you know, we've watched the NFL and we've watched college football the last few years. And every time somebody gets dinged to the head, you know, our first concern is whether or not that person should be back in the game. And anytime they come out the tent and they run back onto the field, we want to point the finger. And I just hope that, you know, they have her best interests at heart, because sometimes the coach or people running sports have to be the one to tap the athlete on the shoulder and say, no, not this time. You've done well enough for us.
Gutierrez.
Extending that shout out really quickly to Raven Saunders, who made this symbol after winning the silver in the shot put, representing, as she says, the intersection where all people who are oppressed meet. She's a gay black athlete, and that was a very cool moment there. But as it goes for Simone Biles, I do believe that when this event, and I think Jackie said it best, on her terms, it's probably the safest event for her, but it's the event where she, if she's feeling good, if she's feeling okay and can represent herself, can sort of end the Olympics on a good note, even for her without a medal, just knowing that she can land on her feet almost literally once again.
Bill, we talked before about the U.S. women's national soccer team and how that was a polarizing team. Simone Biles, in the last week, whether it's been right or wrong, has been a polarizing figure in some ways. How do you handle the news today?
I just hope NBC is not putting pressure on her. I hope her sponsors aren't putting pressure on her. I hope the USOC is not putting pressure on her. She's think about this. She's facing more pressure in this event than she did in the team competition. She's a defending champion. She's all alone out there. I just hope she's mentally well for this, and I hope she wasn't, you know, swarmed and suffocated by the pressure. We'll find out. I'm queasy. I'm like KB. I'm queasy.
It will be an incredible event and maybe the most watched event of the entire Olympics, don't you think? Kevin Black is still in the lead, 24, taking a break by herself on the other side.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Israel, remember when you said something was huge, potentially large? We have two pieces of substantial, potentially impactful news of the day from the NFL. First, in Philadelphia, first-round pick Devontae Smith sprained MCL. Timeline on that is week to week. His frame was the question in the draft. That doesn't go away here. And Carson Wentz and the Colts reportedly weighed the options of foot surgery all last week, have decided to go under the knife. Wentz out anywhere 5 to 12 weeks. His debut with Indy to start the season very much in doubt. What position does that put Wentz and the Colts in, Bill Blasky?
Devastation, utter devastation. They had the toughest schedule in the league the first 5 weeks of the season. The Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, and Ravens. They have really no backup with any experience. Andrew Luck, are you listening? Where are you, Andrew Luck?
You go straight to Andrew Luck here? You go straight to devastation here?
I go straight to Andrew Luck. The whole season is, they've done everything right. To have this happen is so unfortunate.
I'm going to ask for a new graphic to be made. You know, I've got the fire here. You know, I've got the cheese here. You know, I've got, you know, the algorithm here. Alarms, because Bill Plaschke is the most alarmed panelist we have. Let's go, Israel Gutierrez.
Okay. It would be devastation if you had so high expectations for Carson Wentz. All you're really banking on is him being together with Reich again and then maybe recovering that second year of quality. I don't think you were going to get that from him. In fact, I think you probably should look elsewhere, period, because there's backups out there that can keep your team afloat. A Gardner Minshew from Jacksonville would probably be better for you right now than Jacob Eason. And then, you know, 5, 10, 15 weeks from now, maybe you get Carson Wentz back and can go ahead with that.
Expectations were high for Wentz in Indy, right? And they made the move. They gave up something for him, Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, but they were
5 to 12 weeks. Could be just missing the preseason. Go ahead.
Yeah, 5 to 12 weeks. That's such a large window. That's why I'm on Team Plaschke here. This is out of the playoffs right now for this team. I mean, it's not even close. They've got one quarterback on their roster right now, Brett Hundley, who's ever been in an NFL game. So to Izzy's point, now they probably got to go out and get somebody else. You just can't roll Jason Eason out there and expect to pick up where you thought Carson Wentz could take you. So this is a really tough break for them. You feel bad for them after all they've gone through with quarterbacks.
The panic room is built for two, Blackstone and Plaschke. Jackie Mack, where are you with news about Wentz's surgery?
No padded walls where I'm sitting, Tony. No padded walls at all. 5 to 12 weeks. Let's say it's closer to 5 weeks. As you said, he only misses maybe one, maybe two games tops. And this team is built with a great offensive line. They like you're going to ask Jacob Eason to hand the ball off to the running back for 2 to 3 weeks. I think he can handle that. And I think you're going to tell people 5 to 12 weeks because of Wentz's injury history. And people always saying, oh, the guy's never healthy. He can't be on the field. They're giving him a cushion.
Gutierrez is saying it's over. Plaschke back in. Last word.
Do you really think Carson Wentz is going to be the lower part of 5 to 12 weeks?
Well, I don't know. Nor should we be guessing
about
anybody's
really think
injury.
We have no
but
idea.
But don't you know that Nick Foles is the third-string quarterback in Chicago? You can make a deal, reunite him with Frank Reich. Wentz and Foles together did all right when they were together.
Funny.
Anybody concerned real quick about Devontae Smith? Anybody? I mean, that is only a week-to-week injury, but the questions
his
about
his frame going into the season was what I was concerned with.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm concerned about Plaschke and Gutierrez right now. We'll talk later, guys. Blackstone McMullen, showdown. 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To be in position to opt out of a $44 million deal. What a country. Chris Paul opting out. Kawhi Leonard opting out to become a free agent. He was due $36 million this year. That's some NBA news. How about this? The Heat reportedly going in on Kyle Lowry. Jackie McMullen. Kevin Blackstone, welcome to Showdown. Where are you on the Heat and Lowry, Kevin?
Well, I think it's a great deal. I mean, Kyle Lowry's done all he can up in Toronto. They need a point guard down there. You saw what Chris Paul was able to do for Phoenix, get him oh so close. And I'm sure they're thinking they can get the same out of a guy like Kyle Lowry.
Hey, I love Lowry. I think he's a real gritty guy. I would want him on my team. But just remember what the Miami Heat had in mind. They were hoping they were going to be able to sign Giannis. Of course, that went to the boards a while ago. And as much as I love Lowry, I ask you this question. Are they better than Brooklyn? Are they better than Milwaukee? It puts them in the hunt, but does it get them over the top? I think it's a great move in this moment, but their best bet already went by.
Point Jackie McMullen. Showdown two, surgery for Fernando Tatis Jr. It's possible if his shoulder doesn't get better. As of right now, it's been separating on a monthly basis here, at least three times a season. Should the Padres shut Tatis Jr. down and go for surgery, Jackie?
I think they should have shut him down a while ago. I feel like we've been talking about this for months, Tony. He is a franchise player. I understand you don't win without him, but look at the long haul, please. This guy's too talented not to.
Absolutely shut him down, and what an awkward-looking slide. He's far more athletic to go into third base than what he just showed right there. But, yeah, I mean, a third really bad shoulder injury for him, we shouldn't see him until October.
Three separated shoulders this season. There was a fourth in spring training. I know if you ask the player, they're always going to want to play. Somebody step in here for Sergio. 30 seconds of FaceTime goes to Jackie McMullen.
Boy, this was an all-Italian.
Yeah, it really was.
Around the horn. So we talked about the plethora of point guards that are free agents, and I have one in particular that I've been watching for a while. His name is Lonzo Ball. Remember the Ball family? Remember how Lonzo Ball took all the brunt of his father's histrionics and said nothing? He's been with too many teams for too long. People are telling me that he's going to end up in Chicago. I think this is going to be a place where you're going to see Lonzo Ball become a really great NBA player that you can rely on. I love the way he plays. I'm glad he's finally getting a chance to settle in with a coach that believes in him. I'm looking forward to Lonzo Ball's future.
Jackie Mack, today's winner. Kevin, I was going to have you share the gold with her, but since you argued against that, I didn't give it to you.